If I had to propose a slogan for Christianity in the modern world, I would propose this: God is love. The reason why I say that is because it seems like that's the most common phrase we hear when it comes to anything Christianity-based. God is love, that's why we can do this, or God is love. But really, what does that mean? That's actually a rather complicated and important phrase, God is love. And so I want to give us a sense of what that means and why that's so important for the celebration we have today, which is the Trinity. Now, when I talk about God is love, what I mean by love is not some feeling like God feels wonderful towards himself. But instead, love is this outpouring of oneself, the gift of oneself for the sake of the other. That's what love means in this case. I'm going to give the entirety of who I am to the other. And so, for example, the Father gives himself entirely, everything about him, everything, and he begets the Son. And I use that word very specifically, not made, not create, not form. He begets the Son. If we said create or form or make, it sounds like it's something other than God. Like, look, I made a statue. Ta-da! But instead, what we're saying, it's an extension of who God is. He gives so much of himself that the Son is fully God in every way, just like the Father. So the Father gives himself entirely and begets the Son. But love desires a response. Love wants to be loved. So we can't just say, yep, I've given myself completely and I'm satisfied. The Father also wants to experience the love. And so now the Son gives himself entirely to the Father, making him the Father. And now it's a full relationship. The Father completely gives himself to the Son. The Son gives himself completely to the Father. The Father receives the Son. The Son receives the Father. We're in a relationship. But it's kind of a solipsistic relationship. It's stuck in itself. It's like this loop. Now the problem is that the great love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father is so powerful and profound that the Holy Spirit is preceded from that. Yes, I'm using technical words for reason. Not created, like, ta-da, look, love. It's not personified either, like, it's a literary device where the Spirit's just kind of this idea of God's love. It really is the full expression in another person of God's love. That's how efficacious and important God's love is. It forms the Holy Spirit out of the very love of the Father and the Son. So that the love of the Father and the Son, they give themselves completely to the Spirit, and the Spirit gives himself completely to the Father, making now a three-way relationship, a full relationship. Not just stuck within two, but a community of relationship. And that's the criticalness of the Trinity. It is a relationship of love. So that when we say God is love, we don't say God is loving, as though, yay, God loves me, it's awesome. But that the very nature of what God is love itself. Think about the profoundness of that for a moment. God in his very nature is love. That's all he can do. He can just love and love fully. So what does that mean for us? Because we have to make this to some point somewhat practical, at least useful. So the idea of the Trinity is not foreign to the scriptures. We just have to look for it. So in our first reading today from the book of Proverbs, we have a person speaking. And if you caught the first line, you'll see what I mean. It's wisdom. Wisdom is this personified understanding of God's intellect that runs through the Old Testament. She's also called Lady Wisdom, who is this kind of enticer of people to guide them into God and to let them see the beauty of what God does. That's Lady Wisdom. And so she comes in and out throughout the wisdom books to guide people to see the logic and the wisdom of God. But really, she's a personification. If we go back even further to the book of Genesis, we have the creation of humanity, in that God says, let us make man in our own image. Odd. For a monotheistic religion like Judaism, why would they have the plural? And if you think I'm being silly, the Hebrew is incredibly clear that it's plural. I was shocked when I read it. I'm like, wow, okay, it has to be plural. So God's making himself plural in a way and saying that these people he's forming are in our image. The angels aren't in that image. The creatures aren't in that image. Only us and only God. Well, this all comes to its fore when we get to John's gospel, when John reflects on all of this and says Jesus is the word, logos, which means the logic or the reason behind God. He takes the idea of Lady Wisdom and the plurality that happens in Genesis and puts it together into the word and made flesh, Jesus, who is with the Father from the beginning, who created all things, who saw what was happening, who came down from heaven, who is the expression of God's love. As Pope Francis said, the very face of God's mercy. This is the next extension of the Trinity, where we see not only that the Trinity lives in this life of love for itself, But God is so loving, the expression of his love has to be to give himself to us. So he gave us his Son, which is the core of the Gospels. And in giving us his Son, he shows who he is and guides us into that relationship. But that wasn't enough. And as we see in today's gospel with Jesus, he says, when I get up to back to where I'm supposed to be in my kingdom, I will send you the Spirit, the Paraclete, the expression of my love for all of you, who will be the truth, the one to teach you what it is, so that the Spirit may pervade among us. Think about that for a moment. The Spirit is the expression of the love of the Father and the Son, which means God gave us the very relationship of love he celebrates. And that's what we have coursing through our community, coursing within us, this expression of God's great love for us. That doesn't just say, yay, God loves us, but says, here, I've given myself to you. Not only do I ask for you to give yourself to me, but I will help you, because we're not strong enough to give ourselves completely to God, so the Spirit speaks for us. Isn't that great? This is the joy of what we celebrate today. Because God's Spirit is among us, because God is Trinity in one and one in Trinity, we now have a new avenue for us to reach God, to be in that life, not on our own accord, but because God has brought us into that relationship and let us live in that relationship of love. We can't become God, but we can become in the life of God, which is the great goal. So today we celebrate the fact that God is a community of persons and that he desires us and desires us to be in that community and continues to call us, guide us, give himself to us, that we may reach that life of love which the Father wishes to give us.